give a sort of a thumbnail sketch of how the Regional Advisory Council for Southeast fits into the overall process of managing subsistence in Alaska?
Well, it's not only the managing subsistence, but it's managing fish and wildlife resources on for the state. And there's two parallel systems. One is the state system, and that affects all residents of the state and all lands in the state. And there's the federal subsistence system. And the federal subsistence system implements Title 8 of ANILCA.
The Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act.
Exactly. And what it does is the Title 8 of ANILCA says that management or harvest of fish and wildlife on federal lands by rural residents has a preference over that consumptive harvest by other residents of the state or of the world for that matter. So this process implements that provision.
And the councils basically advise the subsistence board, the state subsistence board. They give recommendations for the different regions for proposals and ideas for changing or adjusting or whatever else management.
Yeah, exactly. Their role is to provide recommendations. They don't decide anything. But they do provide a recommendation, and their recommendation has weight by law, and the council has to really take those recommendations and work with them. The meeting we're going to have on Tuesday, we will not have proposals to deliberate, but we will have an opportunity to discuss wildlife management as kind of a general concept for rural residents in federal lands. And we will also have an opportunity to develop proposals for changing wildlife regulations on federal lands here.
One of the issues that I've had people ask me about in the past has been moose management and subsistence, and how the federal guidelines, I believe, mirror what the state's rules are, but maybe you can explain how that works. And it looks like it is something you'll be talking about. Moose, for instance, here I see as one of the items of discussion is implementation of an any bull moose permit for units 1B and 3, which is our area here in Petersburg.
We've had, let me just stop with moose, and you're right. Right now, up until this year, the regulations for subsistence moose hunting has been exactly the same as moose hunting in state regulations. Now, in November of this of 2008, the state board changed the legal definition of a moose in 1B and 3. Now, what we have to do in order to...
That's the antler restrictions specifically.
Exactly. They've changed from three brow tines on one side to two brow tines on both sides. So in order for us to align ourselves with those same regulations, then we need to take a similar action.
And that's, I see, the antler restrictions are also on here as part of the discussion.
Yes. Now, the reason that the agenda item is on there for any bull moose permits is that that's as a request of the public. They had a request to have that on the agenda, so we'll put it on the agenda.
Another issue in season management, Mike, you've mentioned to me about the idea of getting more timely numbers.
Well, we're trying to come up with a protocol for in-season management to react to state changes in season. If there's a like real heavy snowfall, a closure for a particular area, we want to be able to respond on the federal side to come in line with that as quickly as possible rather than a delay.
Another interesting topic on here, sea otter management recommendations. We've heard a lot about sea otters moving onto the inside passage and multiplying prodigiously in the area, and concerns from fishermen over the impact to shellfish and other species. What's happening with that? There's a sea otter management recommendation that you'll be discussing.
We have a... It seems like it's a ongoing dialogue with both users and the Fish and Wildlife Service regarding the increase in numbers and distribution of sea otters and the effect on subsistence. And at our last meeting, we had an excellent presentation by the Marine Mammals Office, and the council wanted to have that as an agenda item to see if there has been further discussion and whether or not we want to actually weighed in on the topic here.
One thing that we are going to have as a presentation by Marine Advisory Program, Sonny Rice, is going to give us a presentation that Zach Hoyt put together, the biologist that's been working for Fish and Game on shellfish. And it kind of what we're looking to do is possibly come up with some more research on what's actually out there, how many sea otters, what they eat, how much they eat, that kind of thing.
If the public's interested in participating in the meeting, are there certain times they can come and testify? I assume it's always open for them to listen, of course, but how do they go about getting involved?
We encourage people to come to the meeting and participate, and if they have testimony or something that they'd like to share with the council, we certainly encourage that. We normally have a time for public testimony during the first portion of the meeting, and then at the first portion of every day. And if there's somebody that has a time conflict and that's not really fits their schedule, then we can fit them in, because we'd like to hear from local people about what their concerns are and what kind of issues they think the council should address.